All right, g'day Novocastrians, and welcome to your Derby Week Jetstream Podcast Edition. This is an important week in our history and current events as we celebrate the grand final win in 2008. Yesterday, as we're recording this on the Thursday, you'll get this on Friday morning, but celebrating the grand final win in 2008, and also we face the bottom of the table Mariners on Sunday afternoon. So before we get into that, and I have to give a caveat at the beginning, there probably will be some swearing being the being Derby Week, so the explicit tags will definitely be on this episode. Before we get into that, we've obviously also got a solid winner performance against the Wellington Phoenix to review. So to discuss all the details, this week we've got our usual two and one of our subs. We've got Dave.
G'day, mate. I reckon we're almost at the point where Emma's not a sub; she's almost a starting player now.
Yeah, I think we can actually upgrade her to full time status. I think Glenn hasn't been on enough to qualify as being promoted to the starting roster, and Parksy reckons he's going to be super sub from now on anyway. So we can change the terminologies around. And now that we've welcomed Emma, g'day, Emma.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm brilliant.
And just because we like to do it, we've got Bodes last. How are you going, Bodes?
Yeah, your marquee player last. Hold on, Ben.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, you know, how's it going up there anyway, Bodes? A couple of weeks ago, you were using your canoe to paddle down to Hamilton, and now you've probably got it turned the right way up and filled up with water and ice to try and keep yourself cool.
Yeah, well, mate, I'm actually in my living room at the moment. I've moved my hammock inside, and I've got it facing the air conditioning, so well set up tonight.
Have you got the esky beside you?
Yeah, I actually should do that. I would go sleeping on the couch, but geez, we don't want to talk about that, would we, Ferns?
No, we really don't. It hasn't survived since the last time I was there. Opening question for this week, and pretty simple one. What's your favourite F3 Derby memories? We'll go to Bodes on this one, considering we introduced him last.
Hands down, and funny enough, good pun there, Jimmy Holland's handball in the grand
final.
You
stole my thunder, you bastard.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row, you've stolen my thunder.
Jimmy Holland's handball. Everything that ensued from that was just unbelievable. Just winning the grand final, Danny Vukic's high five, Danny Vukic not going to the Olympics. Just everything from that moment onwards will go down in folklore.
Did you notice Jippo's bitching about that on Twitter earlier today?
Yes, I did.
It was hilarious.
They've got Twitter now?
Yeah. Only a few of them. It's only because they don't live on the Central Coast. They've actually got internet. Dave?
Mate, mine would have to be Ruben Zadkovic going clean through, I don't remember who it was, straight from the kickoff. He went clean through someone at home.
Stojowski.
Who was it?
Stojowski.
Stojowski, thank you, Bodie. And, yeah, that just set the tone for the game. I don't remember whether we won, but he got a yellow card. He went clean through him. It was brilliant. We loved it.
Couldn't happen to a nicer retard. Emma?
Oh, I think Bodes took mine. I wasn't there, but watching the replay of that was the most epic thing I've ever seen in my life. So,
you weren't at the game?
No, I actually lived in Norway then.
Oh, okay. Well, you've got an excuse.
Please don't ostracise me from the group for not having been there on that day.
No, that's all right. I reckon half the Jet supporters that didn't actually rock up were probably there on that day. They say they were there on that day.
Oh, no, I'll admit I wasn't there. I lived on the other side of the world.
That's fair enough. I don't know what I'm going to pick now that Bodie stole my thunder. Could you pick Fabio Vignoli? Sean Rooney.
Hutch and bloody Matt Simon.
Griffo always used to put some meat into tackles whenever he was in a derby. So
Franco Parisi, season one.
Franco,
season one.
There you go. You've got a plethora of derby memories there. So
all of them.
Exactly right. If you got your own derby memories, obviously we did have quite a few people commenting on the pictures that we put up the other day on the actual anniversary. So jump on the Squadron Facebook page and add your favourite memories of that day or any other derbies if you want. Just pop them up on social media.
Thanks to our Lucas Eid, I reckon, for the thought and the suggestion for that as an opening question.
Definitely, yes, definitely. I thought it's Derby Week. We may as well bring up our favourite memories. It's not like we've had very many favourite memories to crow about, especially travelling away, but we'll get into that in the preview. This part of the podcast, we're going to talk about a review of the match with Newcastle running out 3-2 winners over Wellington Phoenix.
on the sidelines, who was employed by Fulham at that stage. Here is Nordstrand! Sweet, sweet strike from Morten Nordstrand, and once again the Jets have squared it up. Especially in that previous passage of play, Nordstrand getting into these positions, and what a strike that is. It was lovely play here from Leonardo, just putting it out to him, and boom! Doyle.
Apparently Ned Zelich loved that bit of individual brilliance. But Bodes, first and foremost, the most important news, and obviously it came through after we did the podcast last week, was, and we have to recognise it, that the Phoenix has secured their 10-year licence, or the, we're calling it the Dutch licence, it's 4-3-3, so 4 years plus three plus three, which was brilliant news considering our mates across the ditch there didn't know whether that was going to be happening or not. And the away fever boys were delighted, I think, with that, regardless of the result.
Yeah, mate, they were stoked, and to be honest, they wrecked me well and proper on Saturday night. Sunday was a difficult day.
It's very rare that we have any visits or visiting to Wellington, and it doesn't end up being a very, very big struggle the following day. David, another performance where we went behind, but now it seems that we seem to have the confidence that we can score and actually get back into the game, which is something that we haven't seen until for the last couple of months. It's good that it's actually started to come back.
It's very interesting to see that twice this year we've come from behind at half time to come back and win. It's something that we'd only achieved once in our history before, and to do it twice in a year is, look, this might be something standard for a lot of other teams, but for us it's a pretty special occasion worth noting. There's certainly a resilience about the team and a never-say-die attitude that they have. It's just a shame that we're struggling at the moment. Well, I guess our next the next development of the team will be seeing games out.
Definitely. Emma, three games undefeated, four good performances, largely down to Leonardo finally being fit and stringing some appearances together, and Agarkovic and Nordstrand coming into the team, and finally there's some confidence and positivity building around the club.
Yeah, I think that's got a lot to do with where the confidence and the pick-me-up attitudes come from. I think Leonardo's changed his personal attitude the last couple of games, the little dummy spit at the end aside, but he was really firing this last game, and I feel like when he fires, he brings people with him. But I think, yeah, Ugarkovic and Nobby have just, they've added a bit of pizzazz that I think has given everyone a bit of a lift.
He did seem to be, he seemed to have been very angry, not angry, but like very, very much more vocal than I remember him being when he first starting games in the early part of the season. He's been a lot more vocal and aggressive.
Maybe his English is getting better, so he can communicate a bit more.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe while Hoffy's been teaching him some Aussie slang and some
choice
swear words.
Yeah.
Decent. All right, so we'll get into talking about the match, and guys, just jump in whenever you've got something to add. The match took a while to get going, starting off with some poor attacking decisions. Some opportunities went to waste early on, and it basically all our attacking players weren't really on the same wavelength. Final decisions on the balls into the box just seemed to be going awry.
It was a frustrating first half to watch. You're right, we did take a while to get going, even though we certainly dominated possession early on, but we really didn't do anything from it. And I think that the first goal, to an extent, came against the run of play.
Bodes?
Yeah, I pretty much echo Dave's thoughts. I just thought in the first half, we struggled really to get a foot in the game, and Wellington kind of bounced on the back of their performance the week before. They kind of went the same level. And I must say, I'm very impressed with that Hamish Watson, other than what he ended up getting off silly.
Apart from being a twat.
Yeah, for getting himself sent off. But other than that, I thought he was fantastic.
Can I ask, though, Bodes, do you think Hamish Watson actually was that awesome getting those two goals, or do you think Mullen was just shit letting
I'm not talking about the goals. I'm talking about more or less his play off the ball and stuff.
Yeah.
Look, my view wasn't that good, but I thought for his age, and I've heard his story, he's come from Grimsby of all places in the UK, so I didn't know they taught football in that part of the world.
Soon to be in theatres.
That explains the teeth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, moving swift. We can get into the whole Mullen/Watson thing now, I suppose. The first First thing of note was 22 minutes in when Watson scores after Mullen completely fails to clear the ball coming across the box. Him falling over in the box after not clearing the ball, leaving Watson unmarked, and pretty much a simple shot into the net.
They shouldn't have had that opportunity in the first place. Blake Powell was offside, and we just that is unexcusable. That's probably the worst offside call since was it Edson Montaño tapped one in from Andrew Hull last year.
We
had three people between him.
Yep,
that's the worst call that I've seen since then.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to bring that up in a sec, but yeah. So did anyone else see that decision? Does everyone else agree that it was offside?
Yeah,
Blake
it was
Powell
terrible.
Offside?
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go, Dan. I've deflected.
All right. So,
but that aside, you've got to play the whistle, and if no call's been made, you can't just go, "Well, sorry, I didn't do my job. He was actually offside."
And the other thing is, I don't recall any of the players putting their arms up to say, "Hey, he's offside." Like no one put the arm up for the offside decision. I didn't see anyone put their arms up while I was watching the replay.
They know the refs are inept.
Well, I mean, we're an FFA-owned club. You'd think we'd be getting those decisions for us, not, you know. I mean, that's what happened with Wanderers. But
that's an allegation I threw out there last year.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm going to throw it out again. So we'll talk. Actually, I think we could probably spend a minute or two on Watson. Mullen. Emma, you were of the opinion that he wasn't very good in this game and was specifically at fault for that, at least that goal.
Oh, I think both of them. He was the one who was supposed to be marking Watson in the second goal, yep. And they were running forward together, and Watson stopped and waited for the ball, and Mullen kept running.
Yep.
Like he had no idea where his man was. So I think Mullen failed as a defender this game. I think he had...
And as a human. God damn it.
What I was going to say is he did have some good plays forward. When he did get the ball in a less pressure situation, he did have some nice distributions up the park. So I will give him that. But in the pressure situation, but one thing I will just wonder out loud is Bugord, I don't think, was doing his normal magic marshal the back four thing this week. Something was missing there. So, yeah, maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. But, yeah, Mullen failed as a defender, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, when you were talking about Mullen had a couple of good forward runs, I think it was his forward run that got Hamish Watson his first yellow card. Did anybody see that was... Because I know that a couple of the Phoenix people blew up about that. They didn't even reckon there was enough contact on Mullen for that to even be a yellow card. Did anyone have anything on that?
I think he was disrupting the play. Mullen's threw that past the first defender and Watson's bumped him off the ball. I think it's a foul and a card.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. Anything Chris Beath gives us is... generally a surprise, so...
that's very true.
Yeah, we'll
take
it. He
does seem to hate Newcastle.
Oh, doesn't he?
Funny enough, the Wellington boys seem to think he hates them, so...
Well, Chris Beath hates football.
He hates football. He hates humanity. All right, so after we went behind, it seemed to spark us into life because there was a good, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes there and 5 minutes into the next phase of, or section of play. We resulted in a couple of good attacking forays into the Phoenix box, and one of them resulted in a own goal being scored by Jura. Newey, he's still a Newey legend. We still love him.
See, I told you we should have him back. He's scoring goals for us today.
Exactly. But
the only goals Andrew Durante has ever scored in a Newcastle Jets fixture have been Oggies. He scored two Oggies for us. He scored one Oggie on the weekend for Wellington.
What a pearl of that one! That one 8 years ago was. Yeah. I remember it vividly. Pouring rain in Newcastle, like absolutely flogging down against Perth. About half an hour into the game, and he thumped it into the back of the net from about 25 yards out.
Are they the only Oggies he scored, or does he make a habit of it? Is he a Jamie Carragher of the A-League?
He got that's his third, so that's at least three that
that's
I know.
At least three. All right, well, Liverpool reference done, stamped. All right. So and look, it was great lead up play in the lead up to that own goal from some great play and a pass by Leo, and a good shot. Well, I don't know if it was actually a shot or a cross from Enver, but you know, whatever it was supposed to be, it worked. It went into the goal.
I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be a cross. I think Trifunovic was perfectly placed to take it if Durante hadn't have done it for him. So I think Ilivadić did the right thing, and I think that run from Leo was beautiful.
The ball was sensational as well. That was terrific. Leo's really... Look, I'm going to admit here that I'm wrong. I called for his head a couple of weeks ago, and I think I was a little bit harsh in doing so. He played really well.
Well, it's a game of opinions, mate. That's why we do this podcast. So, but I think when we had that conversation, I was the one that said, "Look, I agree with you. He hasn't had enough appearances. But if he can string some together between now and the end of the season and have some good performances, I think he's probably going to make a cut. And if he keeps going the way he's going, like if these guys dominate the coast, I think, you know, next couple of games is going to be crucial to whether he stays or goes.
I'm not sure I'd keep him.
Well, look, Nordstrand, I think, is bringing the best out of him.
Yeah.
His introduction is providing him more of a challenge than what Mitch Cooper is, and certainly more of a challenge than Josh Parisi has. He's not even been anywhere near the squad. So to have a player in your position challenging your future, essentially, because they're both off at the end of the year, that's really good. It's good to see, and Leo's responding.
Definitely. All right, Bodes, you haven't said much in a couple of minutes, so we'll talk about
just listening.
We'll talk about the second goal that Hamish Watson scored at the 36th minute. I actually think Mullen obviously was a large part of why he was able to score that goal, but I think there was a bunch of people that could probably be to blame for that opportunity being created.
I'll put this question to everyone else on the pod. If they hadn't scored, do people think Birighetti could have been in trouble for the tackle he made?
I think so, yes.
I thought he's basically denied a goal-scoring opportunity. It's just lucky that the ball's fallen lucky to Watson. I think it could have been a pen and a red card, looking at it.
Dave?
I didn't really notice it at the time.
Neither did I.
I didn't...
I was too busy swearing that Watson had scored.
Yeah, Birighetti like absolutely took out the player who was through on goal.
It was Redenton, I think.
And it looks even worse on the replay too. Like, he looks so late on the replay.
Mm.
In real life, I was like, wow, Birighetti's so brave. And then when I watched the replay, I was like, holy crap, Birighetti, what did you do that for?
Well, yeah, okay, look, I didn't have the same reaction to you as you guys.
I've only had that reaction on replay at the time. The Wellington guys put it out to me. They said, hey, Birighetti was really lucky. And well, what do you mean? Oh, when we scored that goal, and when I look at the replay, they're right.
Okay.
The guys in the extra interview I did said the same thing.
Okay.
Just the Jets fans.
Just an update for you. 6 own goals, Andrew Durante.
He is the Jamie Carragher of the A-League. I think Jamie had ended up having something like 12 or something, so he's getting pretty close. He's getting pretty close to Karen numbers. All right, so... apart from that we highlighted with Birros, I thought Birros didn't have too bad a game, but I did notice, and did anybody else pick this up, that there was a lot more high balls being done in this. Like he was kicking the ball upfield a lot more than ordinary.
But wouldn't you want
to play that along the ground rather than trying to kick it upfield?
I think it's based on the fact that now, like with Wellington being one of those high pressing teams. And with the players we have in those forward positions, I think we want to break the line as quick as possible and get the ball to the wider players. So I actually think it was a better idea to do that, if anything.
I just think the wind makes you notice the high balls more.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It might have just been me then. All right. So second half, I think we seem to come out with a lot more attacking intent, and the guys in the midfield and the forwards seem to linked up with each other a lot better, Dave.
Yeah, I think we managed to isolate Rolly Bonavazia a fair bit more because, look, it was his run. Actually, I'm going to go back to Hamish Watson's second goal. I blame a lot of that on Cam Watson because...
Let's talk about Cam Watson. We all didn't want to see him. We saw him.
I said last week that this was his opportunity to play that... What do you call it, Bodes? A water carrier role?
Yeah.
So to play his water carrier role, the Poliak's been taking because they're too similar, and Poliak's been looking much better since the introduction of Ugarkovic. This was his opportunity to come out and actually show us what he can do. He showed us what he can do, and I don't think that it's good enough.
Pretty much the same.
Yeah, look, he just got in the way. He was filling spaces that he wasn't supposed to be filling, and where he was supposed to be was nowhere near where he was. He just didn't have the pace in the midfield to keep up with Bonavazzi. You see him going, he's going full tonk trying to chase down Bonavazzi, and Bonavazzi looks like he's in second gear.
Mm.
Look, I just don't think... sorry, and then the game changed for the better when Cowburn was introduced for Watson. I think a lot of the second goal comes back to him because he provided Bonavazzi too much space. So, going back to that point, we managed to shut Bonavazzi down a lot more, which I think helped us in the second half take a lot more of the control. And we just seemed to counter a lot quicker. Rant over.
Okay. Well, I'm going to reclassify Cam Watson from being a water carrier to an IKEA bookcase. Mainly due to the fact that he's cheap, functional, doesn't really do the job very well. He's a bit wobbly. he's a cheap and functional option. But if you're going to buy a player, yeah, it's not long term. It's not going to last very long. It's going to, you know, the more you move it around, the worse it becomes. It's easily chipped. You know, it's just I'm going to call him the IKEA bookcase.
Whoops.
From now on. Well, yeah, whoops. Not all the pieces are always there. It's very difficult. It's difficult and time consuming to put together. And then, you know, after you've done it, it's like, why did I do that? It's a waste of money.
And sorry, Mrs. Watson, if you're listening.
Can I repeat the heckle that came from my bay during the game?
Yeah,
please do.
Someone yelled out, "We signed the wrong Watson."
Well, yeah, you're probably right. I think that call came also. A couple of people were saying that in the squadron bay. On the hill, weren't we, Bodes?
Yeah, my bay was probably copying your bay then.
Bodes, well, I'm pretty sure that a couple of people said that after he scored his second.
I think I just went mental when I heard Cowburn was coming on for Watson. I didn't take in case for anything else.
And I think my boyfriend also summed it up pretty well with a bit of backhanded compliment. He said, "Oh, Watson played his best game today. Unfortunately, it still was the worst game of anyone on the park." So I actually think he did play better than in previous weeks, but still... not at the level.
He does cop some shit on this podcast, doesn't he?
But he's the new Sam Gallagher.
He is the new Sam Gallagher. But to be fair, we're not the only ones. We're just the only ones with a podcast that put it on record. All right. So, getting to the, we'll have to talk about the second goal we scored. Bodes, absolute beautiful, a couple of clinical passes in midfield, putting Morton in the clear, who had an absolutely a beautiful curling shot into the goal just inside the 18-yard box at 53 minutes. And, you know, the commentators were fapping all over it.
I think I was fapping all over it. I think the whole crowd was fapping all over
Who
it.
Who wasn't?
Rightly so.
What a finish. And I'll tell you what, that's probably the best goal I've seen a Newcastle Jet player score at Hunter Stadium since Taggart's goal against Western Sydney all those years ago.
Yeah.
If that's not on the highlight reel at the beginning of the game next week, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Benny O'Neill, get on it.
Well, what do you
think? That was one of the best goals I've ever seen in Hunter Stadium. Except I wasn't there to watch it, and I'm disappointed.
quick straw poll. Was that a better goal than Tarek's in the preliminary final back in 2008?
Technically, yes. Moment-wise, no.
Well, somebody. I'll back that up.
All right, stick a pin in that. That's sorted. So that the goal seemed to grow our confidence and sap Phoenix for a little bit, because I think we seem to look a lot stronger and more comfortable in possession over the next sort of 10, 15 minutes. We were a lot tighter, and there was more of a battle in midfield. And I think that was sort of summed up by Watson getting frustrated, and that's when he kicked the ball away in the 70th minute, which got him carded and also got the biggest cheer in the ground at the time.
It was a young, is he young?
Yeah, he's 21, I think.
Yeah, just a young, silly thing to do, and look, it might be deemed a soft yellow card, but it is still a yellow card offence all the same. So yeah. Rightly, he was sent off.
That happened right in front of me, and the moment he did it, I was screaming out, "Oh my god, it's going to be a second yellow!" And the ref had his back turned at the time, so I'm not even sure whether one of the other officials said something or just the reaction and after play is what made him realise, but yeah, I was pretty chuffed with it.
All right. I would I'd absolutely hate to have been Hamish Watson with Ernie Merrick. That I just feel as though that man would go absolutely ape shit on your ass for doing something like that.
Yeah, who'd be a harder manager? As hard as in like proper hard? Is it going to be Ernie Merrick or Tony Pulis? Because Pulis looked like he'd nut you.
Yeah, no. I'd go Ernie Merrick, Scotsman, heavy-handed. And at the same time, worse than that, I think Kevin Muscat would be the craziest of the lot.
Yeah.
You would not want to get on that bloke's bad side.
Oil stab ye. So.
Oh, I'd say Roy Keane, hands down.
Yeah, true. All right. So our third goal, Dave. Again, good attacking foray into the box, and Nordstrom capitalises to score his second.
Yeah, it was terrific. Enver's second assist in consecutive weeks, which is really good for him. It was a great little layoff, and Nordstrom finished really. It was a real solid hit, and it was a good finish. So, happy days. We actually took advantage, but from there, mate, I think it was a bit all downhill.
All right.
Can I say Enver does do a good job, and one of the things that really helped in that goal, Enver does a really good job at getting himself between the ball and the opponent. He works himself around the ball really well, which I think is what he did there that really helped. And Nordstrom picking up on that, I think, was brilliant.
He's a smart player.
All right, and we'll just quickly sum up the final, you know, couple of minutes. They even though they were down to 10 men, they were still pushing to try and get the equaliser, Bodes.
Oh.
Bodes, you still there?
Sorry, mate. Well, sorry.
I was just saying the final couple of minutes was it looked like that, you know, we might end up conceding a third goal. Phoenix were, even though they were down to 10 men, they were still pushing for an equaliser.
Yeah, and look, I think when you get that your one goal up, the thought in their minds is to drop back, and whereas we should have been looking to push on the counter and continue on, but we shut up shop, and we almost did suffer, if not that unbelievable save by Birighetti, which saved our ass. But, look, we got the points in the end, but it was very nerve-wracking, that's for sure.
Bodes, what episode of The Simpsons are you watching?
I am not watching The Simpsons. I am watching Fox Sports News. Stephen Curry just hitting threes for fun.
Okay.
I've got the Liverpool-Arsenal game on in the background on Fox Sports 5. Fox Sports 4. No, 5-0-5.
Yeah, but I think there are no Simpsons. I'll just check the guide.
Yeah, no, I always try and look for The Simpsons whenever we start recording, just so that I've got it in the background. But, Thursday night, 9:30, it's too late for Simpsons, unfortunately.
Mm. Fair enough.
Not even on time shift.
I think there needs to be a petition put together for a 24-hour Simpsons channel.
Just be careful if you're reaching into your esky to get another beer, Bose, that you're not getting the cat's ear medicine.
boom, boom. All right, so we'll pretty much wrap this game up now. Anything anybody wanted to say about Wellington? We've already pretty much talked about Hamish Watson, but Rolly Bonavazio, I think, sort of floated in and out of the game. He wasn't really the constant threat that he has been against us.
No, he's not, but he's still a class player. The Knicks put themselves about. They certainly could have come away with a point. I think a point wouldn't have flattered them. But you know, I guess we took advantage and we won it on the day. So they can still cause a few upsets this year, is what I'd say.
Yeah, I am on a Wellington side. And the Wellington guys picked up Dylan Fox for them. I thought he was the centre back. I thought he was really good. And the Wellington guys picked up on it. When Sigmund come on, he actually didn't replace Fox. He went to right back. And those guys are saying that they reckon once Durante retires, he'll become the next captain.
Good news.
So there's a source.
Interesting move, putting Sigmund on as a fullback.
Yeah, well, I think that's it. Like Dylan Fox, the young guy, they didn't move him over there. Change the guard, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, any final thoughts on the game, guys?
No.
It's nice to win at home.
Yeah.
More of that, please.
Two in a row.
Two home wins in a row. When was the last time we did that, Dave?
2013. Oh, sorry, you asked Dave. Go, Dave.
No, that's
all right. You need to step up. You need to learn the roles of the senior roles. It's good that you're doing that. Well done. I'll remember that for your performance appraisal.
Oh, thank you, mate. I am the marquee after all.
All right, we'll get into some
Someone accused me of being the marquee after the game.
Accused but you? Can that really be something you can accuse people of?
Like someone suggested it was me who was running the Jets marquee Twitter account.
Oh, okay.
And well, I was like, what? I'm a chubby girl. I cannot be the Jets marquee. And also, I couldn't have that fast conversations with myself on Twitter, could I?
Well, you can.
They're doing a pretty good job, whoever it is. And but look, they took us down a peg last week, saying that all this podcast is about is Star Wars stats, bad impressions, and nails.
And The Simpsons.
Did they mention The Simpsons?
I'm yet to hear anything. I don't think that's pegging us down. I think it's pegging us up a notch.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
We discuss a wide range of topics. We try and keep it interesting. We're not just football. Well, we are, but we like to flavour it with other things.
I'm actually painting my fingernails right now.
Well, you know, it's an audio medium. Visual's not really going to do anything for that. All right, well, we'll jump into some off-the-park news. There hasn't been any new ownership news come out in the last week, apart from David Eland coming out on the Daily Football Show podcast a couple of hours ago, saying there are a number of interested parties. It's not just Mike Ashley and Michael Lee, if I remember the name correctly from last week. There are a couple of other interested parties, so we wait with bated breath to see what comes from that. But an interesting article regarding David Eland came out this afternoon, Dave, that he's intending on stepping down at the end of the season.
Yeah, look, he's only ever in there as an interim role, and his primary position is with Northern New South Wales Football, so I believe that their board has put their foot down and said that they want David to return back to their organisation. His loan period at the Jets has, I guess, reached an end, and they want him back full-time. So not surprising, and I suppose if the club are going to stabilise further, then they need someone who has a permanent position. You can't continue to go on with an interim role.
Yeah,
there comes a point in time.
Yeah, definitely agree. Boats?
Yeah, 100%. The CEO at the end of the day is the face of the club. And to be honest, other than maybe the last couple of weeks, David's kind of been not really on the scene sort of thing. You haven't seen him out in the media talk. You haven't seen him out shaking hands with the members. And look, I do feel sorry for him because he is running two jobs, but I think this is where a permanent CEO coming in will be able to do this. And I think we're going to keep harping onto it. Why did we cut Murphy? He was the perfect CEO to see us through this stage.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Emma. It unfortunately, there's not much you can do about David being in the interim role. But you'd think that you basically can make the assertion that the image of the club has suffered over the last couple of months because there's not been anybody, as Bodie has said, being front and centre and being out in front of the club and actually pushing a direction. And I think that probably we wouldn't have lost as many crowds as we did with the downturn in form if people knew there was actually a vision behind where the club was going.
Yeah, I think that's pretty true, and I hope that whoever they get in next is going to be I feel so wanky saying this, but part of the long-term plan rather than just a stopgap measure. I think that never sends a good signal, and yeah, fair enough, he's got his proper job to go back to, but that's no excuse for not giving it 100% while you're in this one. I'm sure he's collecting a nice paycheck to do both, so.
More than likely. All right, Bodes, there's an open training session to help G up the team this Saturday before the derby on Sunday.
Yes.
Tell us
A great idea by the fans to put this together.
Any specific fans you want to highlight in particular, Dave, Bodes?
Oh, look, he has been referred to earlier in this podcast as the marquee.
He's very modest too.
I think it's a great idea. It's good that the club are opening the gates for the fans to come in and watch. And look, hopefully we can all, as many fans as possible can head down and basically let the players know that this is an important game. It for 11 years it has never stopped being important, regardless of what the media thinks, regardless of what some of the players think. This is a massive game.
So where and when is that? What's the training session?
What's the
details? So the details: the training starts at 9:15 at Raywatt Oval, which is in the University Precinct. So yeah, come on down and do whatever you want to do. Watch them, kick a ball around the side, whatever.
Get your photo taken with the marquee.
Yeah, get your photo taken with the marquee. He'll be pegged down, so
he'll be available for photographs.
I was going to say it's hard to tie him down.
Yeah.
Moving on. All right, Dave, we've had some correspondence.
Mate, we have, and thank you again to everyone who's putting correspondence up on the Facebook page. Oh, well, on the Newcastle, it's the Newcastle Jets Nordstrom supporters this week page. First one comes from Ricky T. What's the squadron doing apart from moving locations to promote the active support further? Bose, do you want to take that, mate?
Yes, I can take that. Dave, what are we doing? Well, at the end of the day, we run our social media accounts. We act with the club on a fortnightly basis sort of thing, always in reaction. What can we do? Look, there's two more home games to go in the season, so maybe what we can do for the rest of the year, I guess, is just go nuts in the hill for the rest of the year. And then at the end of the year, I think we're talking about having a post-season meeting, allowing all fans to come in and help us decide, one, where we're going to be next year, and two, if people want to help out, to come and get involved in what we need to do. Because at the end of the day, you can't expect a group of 5 to 10 people who are involved on a more heavier side to do it every week. You need a bunch of 20, 30 guys to run it. So hopefully in the off-season we'll be able to find some more people who are willing to help out to make it bigger and better.
Excellent.
Yeah, I probably want to add to that just quickly, also in regards to that. It's been a little difficult, especially with the last couple of seasons, to try and get people into the active support area, which is why we've moved to the hill. And I think basically what we're probably concentrating on until the end of the season, as Bode's alluded to, is to try and attract as many people as possible to A, come along to the two games at the coast, and B, come along to join us on the hill, so that we can try and build that as hopefully going to be the area going forward. There was a question popped up on the Squadron Novocastria page when I asked people for questions for the podcast. Mark Scaife asked, is it worth the Squadron campaigning with the Jets to try and get something done with the Southern Hill so a more permanent active fan area can be created, or has it already been tried because the noises since being on the hill has been much better? To answer that, at this point in time, the hill is an unofficial active support area, which is why we're only running with the standard one-meter flags that everybody else can bring into the stadium. We don't have any of our fence banners. We don't have any mega. We don't have a drum. But we've sort of taken the opportunity to try and make the active support for the last couple of games at home more of an organic thing, not disorganized, but a bit more spontaneous. So anyone can come in, start chants. They can start the regular chants, or if they've, you know, a quick witty chant that they've come up with to react to something that's happened on the pitch at the time, start it. It's all about people jumping in and getting involved, and it's steadily grown over the last two games, and we hope that it's going to continue to grow for the final two games, and then in the off season we can liaise with the Jets and try and get that ratified as the actual active support area. But I think the stadium are probably going to have to spend money replacing those seats because they are goddamn awful.
Thank you, guys. But two more questions. The first one comes from Peter Bauer. What are people's thoughts on David Carney missing the trip to missing the away trip in the ACL this week?
Fucking
what are
hilarious.
Our thoughts?
Bloody hilarious.
We've got the explicit tags on both, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, I feel bad for Dave. Sorry, can't keep a straight face. Oh, calm as a bitch.
Yeah.
It's like when someone breaks up with you and then they get fat, hey?
Hey, it's exactly like being with the Socceroos. He wasn't picked.
That's very true.
Final question, and Ferns, as an avid and regular away traveller, I'll address this one to you.
Me.
Matt Miller says, if people are looking to... What's your advice for surviving a trip to Gosford for the newbies?
I'm a regular at the away derbies, but I'm not necessarily a regular away traveller. I'd probably throw that more to Bodes. But with regards to going away for an F3 derby, basically get to the Gosford Hotel as early as you can. Get on the drink if you are of that age. If you are not, that's fine. You can still come in the pub. There's a bistro there. You can sit down and watch everyone else drink. And then just if you can't get there in time for some pre-match stuff, make sure you get to the Hotel Gosford for the march at 4:15. And, yeah, just get involved, leap around, make sure you stand up in Bay 31 and actually sing and take part. If you are not wanting to sit, stand up and watch the game, move to the bay beside in Bay 30 so that people, you know, you're not whinging at security guards for people in front of you to sit down, because it ain't going to happen. Bay 31 and Bay 32 are active support, and people will have flags and be standing up and chanting and doing all that sort of stuff, which means you may have your view obstructed. Bodes, anything to add to that?
I'm fired up.
Yes, get fired up.
I'm can't wait to make my return this weekend.
Emma, last question, actually. I'll add this one. Is it too early? This is Josh Ferreira. When are we changing the name of the Andrew John stand to the Nordstrom stand? Is it too early for something like that, or should it be renamed to a more appropriate player? Remember that Griff is the only right answer.
Poor Nobby, the pressure must be immense that he needs to now continue this. I really hope he does. If they do rename it, not for Griff, but for Nordstrom, you would have to call it the Nobby stand, not the Nordstrom stand.
I think he should be getting the lighthouse, Nobby Nordstrom Lighthouse.
Yeah.
I'd give him the corner. I'd give him one of the corners, because that first goal that he scored was right in the top corner. So if you give him one of the top corners, that's pretty appropriate.
I guess it is. But I hope... I say let's not jinx him, because, you know, he's had a good run, but...
Yeah, let's just not go...
still time to go, so... Yeah, let's not get carried away.
I reckon just re-sign him on a rolling 12-month contract, so that way he's always battling for a new contract, and you'll keep performing the way he is.
And before you know it, he's at Sydney FC.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully that's not going to happen.
And that, mate, is correspondence.
Def. Yeah, awesome. We really thank everybody for sending those in. If you want to get in contact with us, you can email us, podcast@newcastlefootball.net. You can get us on Twitter @JetstreamNewey, on Facebook, facebook.com/JetstreamNewey, or just post questions up on the forums at newcastlefootball.net. There is a Jetstream podcast thread in the Jets and Australian sub forum. So you can always get in touch with us. Actually, there was one that you missed, Dave. Ryan Stanley Stanmore said, which foreign player made his best start to his A-League career? It doesn't matter if he was a flop or just thinking of the first few games. I think probably Heskey was probably the best
in the
player.
Jets or...
Yeah, which foreign player made the best start to his Jets career? Doesn't matter whether he was eventually a flop, his first couple of games.
Yeah, Milton, double on debut, Sydney away.
Yep.
That's hard to beat. Frenny Jeffers started all right, too.
Yeah, Frenny Jeffers started all right. Heskey started off pretty well. I don't think he scored straight away.
Jamming Galekovic.
That was always fun. All right, well, we'll get to the preview now. It's the big one, or the big one of the remaining two. It's the second edition of this season's F3 Derby, and we're away. Way away to the Central Coast at Central Coast Stadium.
No, we're playing in that shithole.
Yes, well, yes. 28th, Sunday the 28th, 5 p.m. kickoff. 10th for the Central Coast, playing the Jets in 8th. Their last five matches, they've only had one win. The rest have all been losses. We've had two wins and a draw in our last five. The head-to-head, played 36. Newcastle won 9, there's been 14 draws and there's been 13 wins to the Mariners.
And the Mariners cheated for 13 wins. Yeah, good job, Mariners.
And goals at Central Coast Stadium. I'm just reading this off the Fox Sports, so I don't know how accurate it is, but
Goals at Central Coast, 10 for us, 28 for Mariners. Why are you reading theirs? You should be reading my preview.
Right, well, give me the rest of
Jesus
the stats.
Christ.
Give me the rest of the stats, Statman. Any other stats you want to pop up for this game?
First goals in the fixtures. We're actually ahead on first goals in the fixtures, 17 to 16. Cards in the fixture, and this is one that's probably going to be pertinent this weekend. 90 cards for the Jets in 37 fixtures.
Jesus.
That's 86 yellow and 4 red. And the Mariners, 51. 47 and 4. That says to me that they're pandas. They're a bloody protected species when it comes to the derby. And we put in, they don't.
Dave, important stat, mate, just as your junior vice president of stats. Grand final head to head. What's the tie?
I believe that's 1-0, mate. 1-0 to the Jets.
Perfect. And yeah. Who scored that winning goal with the right answer being Griff?
Joel Griffiths, mate.
Yep.
And there's photographic evidence to prove it.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Well, we can wrap this pot up.
Well, we'll quickly get into a quick discussion. Central Coast are going to be missing quite a few players. I don't know if Garcia is going to be starting or on the bench for this one. We obviously do know that Storm Maru bloke has corked himself, so he's going to be out for a while. But they've got a few players out and a few players under an injury cloud. So, guys, Bodes, would you start with the same team that's obviously with the big caveat that Canner and Poliak are now available? What would your starting team be?
My starting team would be the exact same as last week, minus Cameron Watson with Mateo Poliak coming in.
Emma?
Oh, and actually, no, I would have Nicholas Cowburn playing left back. I think he just offers a bit more going forward compared to what Jackson offers.
Emma?
Yeah, I agree about Jackson. I think he's had a bit of a shocker lately. He had a few good clearances, but wasn't really there in the last game. So yeah, I'd put Cowburn back in. I'm really torn on Kanter and Poliak, though. I'd definitely start Ugarkovic, but I don't know who I'd start with him.
Well, Bodes or Emma, obviously with what Griffo said the other week when we had him on our 50th episode, Griftacular, he said that Kanter was a very good man marker. So if you were going to play Kanter, who would he be man marking?
But who's he going to man mark?
Men. What? Men? What?
Yeah. Boys. But that's exactly right. Who is he going to man mark? The Mariners don't have enough.
Luis Garcia.
Oh, he's 400 years old. He'll probably only play 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, I'd be sticking Ugarkovic around him. But what about Mitch Austin?
He's a wide player. What are you going to send one of your central midfielders out wide?
He'll be up against Jason Hoffman. Hoffman will have him.
And Hoffman pace. And Hoffman's one of the fittest players in the league. You watch. I bet Hoffman will dominate Mitch Austin this weekend.
Please don't jinx him.
No, coming from Captain Jinx.
Yeah. Shut up. Hey, the jinx might not be on. Thanks very much. If we can, luckily. All right, Dave, do you see any tactical tweaks that we should be putting in place for this game? Because obviously we go away to the Central Coast and we always manage to fuck it up royally. Considering we've only won there once since we've only won there once, and that was in 2008. What do we need to do, and how do we need to set up to make sure we can get the win in this game?
We need to exploit their lack of experience. They're going to have, aside from Josh Rose, look, I think they'll play Josh Rose as a left back. They had experimented with him as a centre back earlier in the season, but speaking to a Mariners fan that I know, it was
who
more
admits
of a
to knowing Mariners fans, Dave.
He's a Liverpool fan as well, so he's only half of that.
PV4, he's on. Worse. Yeah, PV4, he's been on the podcast before.
Oh, brilliant! yeah, we could have interviewed
he's
him.
He's going to hate that when he listens to this.
He doesn't listen to us anymore.
yeah, it's the Yellow Army podcast.
We need to exploit their inexperience at the back and get at them. Paul Izzo, well, the Mariners as a team, that back four, any combination of the back four, haven't kept a clean sheet all season. That's how bad they're going. We need to be exploiting that. We need to be shutting down Mitch Austin because I think he's going to be their only attacking outlet. And I agree with Emma that Nick Cowburn should probably go in there because he won't have Ferreira to deal with, but his pace will hopefully allow another outlet and hopefully see him get forward a bit further.
All right, put your money down. Bodes, what's the score going to be?
Why'd you even have to ask me, mate? You know the answer.
4-0 to Newcastle.
4-0 to the Newcastle United.
If that happens, I'm going to go mental. Mental. Emma?
I'm going to go 3-1.
Dave?
Mate, it was said on the forum earlier that this is one of those matches that just screams for the Mariners to play the underdog tag, to scrape a win, to do all that sort of stuff. But we're looking at this is our best opportunity. This is the best opportunity I felt that we've had to win down there since Griff's return. Yeah. And that was gone after a minute when Biro's let one through his legs. By game day, it will be 2,969 days since the Jets last won in Gosford.
Yuck.
Yeah.
We need to break that record. We're going to break that record, and I think we're going to do it with a clean sheet too.
So what's the score?
So I'll say 2-0.
All right. I'd just like to point out to everybody that I actually picked last week's result, the 3-2 victory to the Jets.
Hold on.
So,
1 out of 20.
1 out of 20 is not too bad. So I'm crossing my fingers that it's going to come up again. I reckon it's going to be 3-1 as well. I think Emma was pretty much on the money there. All right, so that's going to be extreme. It's going to be derbies are always going to be a heart-stopping occasion. So we definitely tell everybody to get down to Gosford. It doesn't cost that much. Get on a goddamn train. Get down there. Buy a ticket. Get in the ground. Sing your heart out, and let's get these boys to finally win away from home. On the Central Coast. So we'll quickly go over the other four games that are taking place this weekend. Friday night sees a 5:30 kickoff over in Wellington. Wellington playing Melbourne City. Bodes, what do you think's going to happen here?
It's going to be a party over in Wellington, I know that much. They're all excited to celebrate 4 plus 3 plus 3 years.
4 plus 3 plus 3 years. 4 plus 3 plus 3 years.
City absolutely smacked the Mariners last week, but as we know, the Mariners are easy beats, so touch wood.
Yeah,
I'm going to go... Look, Phoenix are so hot and cold, but I reckon they're going to be hot, so I'll say 2-1.
Emma?
Nah, I reckon City. I think City 2-1.
Dave?
Cool. Mate, I'm going to go with City 2-0.
I actually think they'll probably get a good Friday night. According to what I remember the guys on the Jetstream Extra saying, not really great for crowds, but I think it's going to be it shouldn't be too bad a crowd, especially with the 10-year license being announced. So I've got some good hopes for our lads at the Phoenix. I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw. Later on that night is a... this is going to be an interesting game. Wanderers versus Perth at Pertec Stadium. Perth are absolutely flying. Wanderers sort of bit up and down. That's a 7:40 kickoff Friday night. Emma, what do you reckon's going to happen here?
I reckon Perth. I'm going to back Perth. I think they're on fire at the moment, and I'm not that partial to the Wanderers, so... Never mind them. I'm going to say 3-1, Perth.
Dave?
Mate, I'm still waiting for Tony Popovich to get the sack after my early season prediction.
It's back on. Yeah.
I agree with Emma. Perth, behind Adelaide, the form team of the competition. Perth will win that, but it'll be tight. 2-1 to Perth.
Boats?
Perth bubble's got to burst. Eventually, and I don't think it's going to burst tomorrow night. I reckon it'll be a draw, though. I'm going to say a 1-1 draw.
Perth's bubble will burst next week, mate.
Yeah, I really hope so.
over there, I don't think so.
Yeah, I actually think Perth can get up over Wanderers. I reckon I also think it's going to be a 2-1 win to the Glory. Saturday, 5:15 kickoff. Adelaide versus Brisbane. This is going to be an interesting one. Emma?
I think there will be a few goals in this, I think Adelaide will take it. So I'm going to go 3-2 for Adelaide.
Wow. Boats?
I'm going to take this moment to admit something. I never thought until probably the last 6 weeks that Craig Goodwin was ever that crash hot of a player. I thought he had moments of spark, but I never thought he was anything fantastic. The last 6 weeks, though, yep, he's a good player, and I'm happy to admit I was wrong. So, moving on to the game, I think Adelaide are going to win 2-0.
Dave?
I'm going to go with 1-1 here. The two teams are really good. Brisbane will be looking to shore up their defence after a 6-3 cracking match last week. 1-1.
I also think there's going to be goals in this one, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring draw. I'm saying 3-3.
Whoa.
Yeah, get that
up. You love your bold predictions,
don't
you? I do love
my bold. Well, hey, I wasn't bold enough for the bloody Perth Glory Brisbane game last week, so Jesus. The other game that's later on Saturday night is that horrendously named Big Blue down there in Melbourne. Melbourne Victory versus Sydney FC. Bodes.
I'm only going to go Melbourne Victory purely based on the fact that Sydney are coming back from Japan and Melbourne are in Melbourne. So Melbourne 2-0.
Dave?
Melbourne to win 1-0 with a David Carney Oggy.
Oh, amazing.
That'd be a great way to get everyone warmed up for the game the following day. Emma?
I'm with Bodes on the scoreline and the reasoning, but I would like to predict there will be at least one red card in the match.
It's probably going to be two red cards, one for each team. So what did you say your score was?
2-0, same as Bodes.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be tight. Both of them are going to be tied from the Asian Champions League, although I think Sydney will be more tired than Melbourne because Melbourne didn't really have to travel. I think it'll be a narrow win for Melbourne, 1-0. All right, well, that wraps up this week's edition of the Jetstream podcast. Again, we implore everyone to get down to Gosford on Sunday to cheer the boys home. We thank you for listening. I thank our regular contributors, our three regular contributors. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dave.
You're right, mate.
At Jetapool on Twitter. Bodes, what's your Twitter handle this week?
It's the Argentine Nordstrom, i.e. Messi.
Yeah, I saw that picture doing the rounds awesome. A couple of days ago. And thank you, newly crowned regular contributor, Emma.
Woo! Thank you, Fern.
No worries. All right, thanks everybody for listening and subscribing, and we will speak to you next week.
Everybody get the Gosford Hotel.
Go mental.
Your membership card's in the mail as well, Emma.
Oh, I'm in a club now.
Yeah, it's the No Glens Club. Yeah.
Dave, how was the Duff? I mean, the 4X Brewery.
It was good.
There's our Simpsons quote. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.